Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
It's 8:50, and we have our first look at the commodity markets for the day with our pre-opening report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Thursday morning, everyone. USDA reported export sales for the week ending September 7th this morning like this. Wheat, 12.4 million bushels. Corn, 26.4 million. And soybeans, 27.2 million bushels. And NOPA reports the August crush at 134.7 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of these numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. Midwest direct hog prices are called steady to lower today amid reports that most plants are full or nearly so for the week. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower, tops from $46.50 to $48.50. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $46.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, September 13th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 13,144. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $59.50 to $70, a weighted average $67.13, a loss of 50 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $46.71 to $55, and the weighted average was $52.41. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $17,202. The base price range was $60 to $70.75. The weighted average was $67.68, a loss of 55 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.75 to $56, and the weighted average was $53.12.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. And Ed, the talk in the trade up at Chicago is there potential for frost in the northern Corn Belt over the weekend?
Over the weekend, likely not. Next week, the possibility of frost does exist, it's going to be way up north, I think, at first. The best chances of frost are going to be coming maybe Tuesday into Wednesday morning for the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota right now. But it doesn't look like we're going to be getting the bitter cold air across much of the Midwest Corn Belt. Now, as we go, frost will not occur up north until not only the colder air arrives, but the sky clears out. And at first, there's going to be a lot of cloud cover. So it's going to be raw and chilly up that way. High temperatures probably only in the 40s early next week, but with the cloud cover and the moisture in the air, temperature is not going to drop enough for frost. So once we get to Tuesday morning, there might be some frost in the eastern Dakotas into northwestern Minnesota. As we get to Wednesday morning, parts of Minnesota into central Wisconsin could get some frost. And once we get to Thursday morning, there is the potential for parts of Michigan to get into some frosty conditions. And that's still the big question mark here is going to be how fast will it clear. As we observed this week with a weather system coming through, took quite a while before the sky cleared out. As far as Illinois and Indiana is concerned, and for the majority of Iowa as well, the big three I states and Ohio, no worries at all this time around. We don't have any frost concerns. So some of the not yet mature crops in the northern portions of the Corn Belt could have a little experience with frost around the middle to even latter part of next week. Now, the computer models looking far out are not doing a great job, and that's been kind of the trend of late. It's been very, very hard to come up with a good long-range forecast because the models just have not been handling the situation well. But I can tell you this. Over the next few days, we are going into a warmer weather pattern. Temperatures across much of the Midwest Corn Belt, even today, will be in the 70s with some 80s out west, low 80s out west. The only areas that will stay cool will be eastern areas, Ohio and parts of Indiana, where it stays cloudy much of the day. All of the Corn Belt will be warm tomorrow into Saturday, and then we get into a scenario where a cold front will be coming through. So that will be causing some showers in the far western Corn Belt as early as late Saturday, and then that rain area will push southeastward across the Corn Belt as we go into Sunday and into Monday, and then by the time we get to late Monday, only the eastern Corn Belt should be getting that rain, with then the wraparound moisture and the light rain and drizzle up north in those colder areas around the Great Lakes, and that would include Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan. It'll stay rather damp and cloudy probably right into the middle of next week up there, but it won't be heavy precipitation. Cooler air will be coming in. Behind that front, we'll have some highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s the middle of next week with dry weather. And it looks like the heaviest rains will stay well up in the northern plains into northern Minnesota with this next system. So it's going to be a little bit damp at times, not great for crop maturation. But on the other hand, we're not going to soak the fields up again. And by the way, yesterday there was a cluster of showers and thunderstorms from the southern suburbs of Chicago into northwest Indiana, dumping some locally heavy rain there. Also some rains in southeast Michigan into central and eastern Ohio. But most of the Midwest Corn Belt had limited rainfall yesterday. Quickly in South America, it looks like it's going to stay dry in the wheat areas, at least most of them. A few showers did occur in southern Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil yesterday, but dryness is still an issue, especially in Argentina. That's the growing areas. I'm Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 465 and three quarters, down a quarter last trade up one. March, 475 up two, last trade up two and a quarter. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 397 and a half unchanged, last trade up two and a quarter. March, 416 and a half up a quarter, last trade up a half. July, 430 down three quarters, last trade up a quarter. December corn opened at 237 and three quarters, unchanged, last trade up two. March, 252 and a quarter, unchanged, last trade up two. May, 261 and a quarter up a half, last trade up two and a quarter. Redline December, 286 up one, last trade up one and a half. November beans opened at 540 and a half unchanged, last trade up three and three quarters. January, 554 unchanged, last trade up two. May, 575 and three quarters, up three quarters, last trade up four and a quarter. October soybean meal opened at 157.30 unchanged, last trade up 120. October soybean oil opened at 24.64, up one, last trade up three. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
What do you make of the export sales report this morning?
I'm not too excited for either the corn or the beans in here. We came in on corn at 670 million metric ton. That was down quite a bit from a week ago, down about 25-26% from a week ago. That's not going to provide a whole lot of support. We did see a little pullback into the end of the day. Yesterday during the overnight session, we were higher. So I would call the corn market maybe up a penny or so today. We did see some underlying support come in on commercial pricing. If we come in and see more buys by South Korea or Japan again, we may even be able to push this market a little higher.
Soy going up today?
Maybe two or three higher at the opening, Dave. Export bookings there were on the high side of things. The thing that's really outstanding is of the 741 million metric tons of corn booked, about half of that was to China. So the talk about China seems to be panning out. Talk about frost in North Dakota, Minnesota, is providing some support, even though it's probably a bogus situation. NOPA crush, 134.7 million bushel, about as expected, but still cumulatively strong.
Doesn't appear we're getting exports in the wheat market to support a rally.
No, the wheat market looks pretty doggy in here. Export bookings came in awfully light at 337 million metric tons, where that was down about 12% from a week ago. Still seeing deliveries. Japan was a buyer. We're going to be steady, maybe fractionally higher in the wheat.
Over on the Merck, lower prices on lower cash this week?
Yeah, we're going to see the market down a quarter, maybe as much as three quarters lower, both on the cattle and the hogs. These cutout values in the cattle really look weak yesterday. We're back down $147 on the choice cutouts, down about $2. On the hogs product, again, just cumbersome.
Do we learn anything about September going off the board today over at the board?
At the board, yeah. The Septembers go off the board today, and the wheat, I think, may be kind of a little issue on how that goes off because it's been kind of on the weak side of things, maybe also in the oats just because we haven't had any trade, but not necessarily on the corn or the beans.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Moreton, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.